Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Grace Point Church. My name is Chris. I'm the pastor here. We're so glad you're here. Happy Mother's Day to our moms out there. Yeah, woot woot, right? Yeah, give it up for moms. Good stuff. Moms, we are so glad you're in our service today, and we hope today is a special day for you. That passage that mom on the video read was Psalms 25:5, and it says, "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." And that's our prayer for you today, is that your hope, if you're here today and you're searching for hope, whether you're a mom or not a mom, that you know that you can find hope in Jesus. And that is our prayer for you today if you're searching for hope. But I'd like to open up our service today in prayer. And before we dive into what God has for us in His Word, so let's pray and just ask God to do some amazing things this morning. Father God, we are thankful for the time that we are here to gather. We are thankful for the fact that we are sitting in this place in a cool room. And God, we pray now, Lord, that you would just do amazing things as we have already sang and praised your name. And Lord, as we get in preparation to open your word, Lord, I pray that you would use it. Lord, that you would prepare our lives, our hearts, our minds to be ready and receptive of it. And Lord, I thank you today for our mothers here. I pray that today would be a special day. Lord, I pray for those today here that are maybe hurting. They're hurting because their mom is no longer on this earth. And I pray for just comfort right now in this moment. I pray for strength. I pray that today would be a time of reflection, of in remembrance of just a godly mother and a loving mother and a mother that worked hard. And I pray, Lord, that you would provide those memories, and Lord, that it would just be a time that of reflection. And Lord, I'm thankful for my mother, thankful for who she is in my life, and I pray, Lord, that you would just today, Lord, that would just be a special day for her along with the other mothers in this room. Lord God, we love you so much. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments, and last week we kind of we paused. We got through the first four commandments, and we paused last week, and we kind of did a recap, and we took a look at what Christ in the New Testament says about the Ten Commandments, and up until this point in the first four, a lot of people will call this the first table, the first four. But they're kind of sectioned off, and the first four are our relationship between us and God. Okay, so the first four is our relationship between us and God. We're focusing upward towards God on the first four. Now we're transitioning into the second table, the second half of the remainder of the Ten Commandments, the next six. And the next six focus in on our relationship now between us and others. Okay, so it's the first four are focused upwards to God. The next six are focused horizontally as we look out to the people that we are surrounded by, the people that are in our circle of influence, the people that are in our community, the people that are just... we are around is what the next four focus on. And today being Mother's Day, as I was in preparation of planning out this sermon series, one, we wanted to pause in between the first table and the second table as we look to God and then look to others. But also we knew that Mother's Day was going to fall on a Sunday during this series, and if we hadn't have paused, today, instead of being on the fifth commandment, we would be on the sixth commandment. And for any of those that know the order of the Ten Commandments, it probably wasn't the best thing to fall on. Thou shalt not commit murder, basically. Thou shalt not kill. Now, I know some of you moms, I see when you come into church with your little ones, and you're like, have already threatened most of your children their lives to get here on time. So it might have fit really well, but we wanted to focus in on the fifth commandment today, being Mother's Day, how we're supposed to honor our father and our mother. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. The scripture will be on the screen, but we're going to read in Exodus chapter 20, and we'll read verse 12 this morning out of Exodus, where we see the fifth commandment. Verse 12 says this, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you." So the question is, how do we honor our parents? And I know some of you are sitting here and you've got your kids here today, and maybe even a few of them are sitting in the service this morning, and you're like, man, we picked the right Sunday to be here. Man, they have just been, it's getting towards the end of the school year, we're about to get summer, and it's just going to be crazy. This was a good Sunday to be at church. But here's the thing, we all have parents. As we prayed earlier, some of our parents are no longer here on this side of heaven. We all come from a mother and a father. We do. Some of those are still here, some are not. But how do we honor our parents? This is not just for those, like I just mentioned, still living or under the watch and care of those parents. So it's not just for the people that are still living under their watch and care of their moms and dads. It's not what this sermon is just focused on. It's focused on all of us, on all of this morning. Whether we are a parent or not, we're all someone's child. We are someone's child. So this is for all of us. So we honor our parents by, we're going to answer that. How do I honor my parents? And the first thing I want to point out is by respect. The respect they show them. We should show our parents respect no matter what our age is. We should show our parents respect. And I know some of you are sitting there and you're saying, but you haven't met my parents. You don't know who my parents are. You don't know what they've done. You don't know what they've said. They don't deserve my respect. You know, maybe you're sitting there thinking that because of the way they lived, or that maybe even they're not a Christian. They don't follow God. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, they don't deserve my respect. And I'm here to say that what a great opportunity that is to live and to share the gospel with unbelieving parents by the way you show them respect. The way you show them respect. Great opportunities. Parents are not perfect, and they need the gospel too. I have to remind my little girls of this because they have two imperfect parents, which all children do. That dad needs the gospel just as much as you need the gospel. Parents are not perfect. I preached my dad's funeral last June. And during that time when I preached his funeral, my dad wasn't perfect. He was a believer. Very thankful for that. Wasn't perfect. It's far from it. And but at the same time, my dad did love Jesus, and he did do a lot of things right. And there were people that sat in that service that evening, during that service, and I knew a lot of them, and I knew a lot of them, things my dad had done and said to them over the years. And that was one of the first things I said was, you know what, I want to honor my dad tonight. Not because he was a perfect man, but because Jesus was perfect. And I'm so thankful for that. And during that service, I was able to read a letter that he had written to me where he shared his personal testimony when I turned 18 years old and talked about how proud he was of his son. And I got to read that, and it was the first time I'd ever shared it with any other person. It just meant a lot to me. And I was able to honor my father that night, not because he was perfect, but because he needed the gospel, and thank God he received the gospel. A great passage in the scriptures of showing parents respect is found in the book of Genesis. And to kind of set the tone, everybody, you know, remembers this story from Genesis. It was when God decided that to pick a man and his family to basically save the world through building an ark, and then he flooded the world because it had become so unrighteous and so sinful. And God uses Noah, this man named Noah, not because he was a perfect man, but because the scriptures say that he was sinful. All men are sinful, the scriptures say. And he picked Noah and he picked his family, and God saved mankind, and then he saved two of every animal. We're familiar with that story if we've spent any time with church. But after they spent the time there on the ark, and after the waters began to succeed and to go down and to lower, the ark found a resting place, and then Noah and the animals and his family, they came out and they began to start of life. They did, and that's where I want to pick up this story in Genesis chapter 9, starting in verse 20. It says, "And Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard." Okay, so we see Noah here. He's out of the ark. He spent some time on the ark, on the water. But now he's like, I want to be a farmer. And I'm going to plant a vineyard. And he plants this vineyard. And then verse 21 says, "And he drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent." Now, I know we have little ones in here, so I'm not going to be very graphic here. But he gets drunk and he lays naked in his tent. Okay? Passed out. Okay? And it goes on in verse 22, and it says, "And Ham," this is one of his sons, "the father of Cana, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside." Now catch verse 22 or 23. It says, "And then Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it on both their shoulders." Now this is key here to the whole point that I'm trying to make here. "Laid it on both their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father." Wow. Noah goes and just does something silly here. Abuses alcohol. His first son comes in, and now we don't know the details, but we know he's punished because of this. I'm reading between the lines here. We don't know the exact details, but we know later in this passage that Ham is punished. I'm guessing Ham saw it and maybe came out and made fun or mocked his father and did something inappropriate. We don't know the details. But then his other two sons, they go and they lay a blanket across their backs, both of them, and they walk backwards in so they're not to embarrass their father, and they make sure he is covered up before they turn to look at him. Did Noah deserve that? No. No. He had abused alcohol. He had probably acted like a fool to the point where he falls drunk asleep. Okay? But his two sons, wanting to honor their father, even though he didn't deserve it, honored him by the way they covered him up and the way they cared for their father. Some of you have had to care for your parents. Probably not a similar situation, but maybe in an old age where you've had to care for your parents. You've had to help feed them and nurture them, and you've sat beside them, and you've sat beside them until they took their last breath, and you were able to love them well in their late years. Man, how powerful of a testimony is that? How awesome of a way to respect your father or your mother and being able to care for them when they're not able to care for themselves anymore. Man, how powerful is that? How awesome is that to show respect to your parent? To respect is to guard the name and the reputation of your father and mother. Yeah, dad's going to mess up. Yes, mom's going to mess up. Yes, they're going to respond out of anger. Yes, they're going to say something that they shouldn't have to you. Yes, things are going to happen. There's going to be things happen because they are sinful. But to respect them is to guard their name and the reputation. When I preached my dad's funeral, I could have stood up and told every story that just made me angry as his child. Out of anger, could have done that. But no, I love my father. And I wanted to honor him, show him respect, guard his name, guard his reputation. So when we speak with respect about them, when we speak with them about them, we should speak with respect to others. The second thing is we should do to honor our parents is obedience. Obedience. How will we listen to them and respond to their words as far as respect? We should listen to our parents. Proverbs 1:8, Scripture is not on the screen for this, but Proverbs 1:8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." It's telling us that we should hear our father's instruction and obey our mother's teaching. Right? I think one of the greatest thing my mom taught me, and she's still teaching me this, is just a work ethic. Mom was just is a workhorse, man. Who has a mom that just works, man? Just worker. Dude, yeah. Man, thank God for moms that just work. Work hard. Whether that's in the home or outside the home. But they're just always on the go. I think thank God that my girls have a mom that is a hard worker. She gets the privilege to be a stay-at-home mom. But the lady won't sit still. I'm like, come on, let's sit down and watch a movie. The kids are in bed. And she's always going. Always going. And I thank God for a godly mother that taught me that. You know, the thing that we have to understand is even when we are grown and making our own decisions, we still need to honor our parents' words of instruction. Okay, it doesn't mean that whatever mom or dad says when I'm 21, 36, 54 years old, whatever that age is, that mom says this or dad says this, I've got to obey it. But man, we can honor their words. Who still calls mom and dad when you need advice? Maybe a few of you. Yeah. Yeah. I call dad all the time. Dad, this happened. What do you think? What do you think I should do? Now, sometimes he gave me advice, and I'm like, you know, I don't know if that's the best idea. I wouldn't tell him that. But I'm thinking it in my head. I know what you guys are sitting there. Yeah, this is Chris Housewright's inner mind working right now. You know, sometimes I would think, you know, that's probably not the best advice. Maybe if I still lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, that would be a good advice. But now I live in Deseret, Louisiana. That might not be the best advice. But I still honored and want to hear his input and his words. You know, we can listen and we can apply what our parents teach us. I can honor my parents and be obedient to my parents and still make my own decisions as an adult. That's okay. That's okay. God is not saying you have to, as an adult, always listen to what mama says. Okay? Now, if you're at mama's house, you better. All right? But if you're outside of mama's house, man, we don't always have to listen to mama's rules. To our youth, you know, your parents are smarter than you think they are. Parents with you sitting here, say amen, right? Yeah. Yeah, your parents are smarter than you think they are. For my girls, I got to tell you, say this, your daddy's smarter than he looks. They are. They are. Thing I think about when I think about my mom and I think about my dad is just, I know they made a lot of bad decisions. Just like I've made a lot of bad decisions, and I'm sure a lot of you have made bad decisions. But I, as an adult now, I look and I'm like, you know what? I can learn from that. I don't always have to make those bad decisions and be hard-headed and figure it out on my own. I can learn from my parents' wisdom. And here's the thing that we must understand. These are for our youth. You should obey mom and dad. You should obey mom and dad, because here's the next part of this passage that we read earlier in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. This commandment has a little something extra. And I think it's significant that this command is the first one in the second table. I think it's really important. Could have been anything, but God picked this one first as we focus on others. This command has a little something extra. Let's read it again, verse 12 of Exodus 20. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your day may be long in the land that that the Lord your God has given you." He says, what does he say? That your days, another way to say that is your life may be long. It may be a long life. So how is this true that you will live a long life? How can it be that? How can that be true? Because I know what you're sitting here thinking of. We know of little ones that die young, right? We know of, you know, little babies that didn't have a chance, opportunity to honor moms and dads. And we know little ones and people that have died in their early adolescence and into their teen years and into their young adulthood. And we know people that have died at a very young age. In a lot of cases, we can look back and we're like, man, they loved their mom and dad. They honored their mom and dad. And with the small little ones, they didn't even have a chance to dishonor them. How can that be true? How can this passage be true then, if that happens? And the thing we have to understand is, this is something that it's a principle. We're actually going to read in Ephesians chapter 6 here. And Paul talks about this passage specifically in Exodus, this command. He says in verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land And then we'll pause there for a second. We'll come back to it in just a moment. But so he kind of restates what Exodus 20:12 says. He restates it. But here's the thing we have to understand. This is not a guarantee of a long life. It's not a guarantee of a long life. This is a principle that God says will help you live a long life, long and peaceful life. Right? Now, there's principles that we can apply to our life that people tell us that will, you know, like when we're planning our retirement fund, okay? There are principles out there that we can take and we can apply to our life. It doesn't guarantee that we'll be a millionaire if we put so much money back, but it says there's a good chance of it. There's a good chance of it. If you follow these principles, you know what? When you get old and aren't able to work anymore, you will be able to retire and have enough money sitting back to be able to retire and not have to continue to work. Well, this is a principle that God gives, and He's saying, this is a way to not guarantee a long life, but as you live life, it is a principle to make life easier, to live a long, peaceful life. You know, when you honor your father and mother, you are learning to respect and how to obey their authority, or to obey authority, excuse me, not just their authority, but a authority. Okay? Ever known anybody that just has a problem with authority? Yeah. They always want to argue with their boss. They always want to, anybody that's over them in a position, they just want to be that person. Man, this is a principle that God is helping us to learn from a young age to prepare us with authority, to make life a little easier. To make life a little easier. It teaches us how we should respond to authority figures in our life. And then Paul goes on in verse 4, and he says something to parents. He says, fathers, labels fathers specifically, but this is for the father and the mother. He says, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Here's something really key. Moms, dads, we need to make it easy for our kids to honor us. How do we do this? We need to be honorable. The way we live our life needs to be honorable. Need to make it easy for our kids. And it makes my day when I get to ride with one of my girls in the car, and we have a conversation and we talk, and at the end of the conversation, one of my girls says, I'm lucky to have you as my daddy. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, that makes me feel really good, but at the same time I'm like, there's so much other better daddies out there than I am. Not perfect daddy. But the fact that, man, one of my daughters thinks that. They think that. We need to be honorable. We should make it easy for our kids to honor us. So, we must represent God well to our kids. The first thing we must do to represent God well to our kids is we must know God, first of all. Okay? Might be a call for someone in this room to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We must know God. The next thing is we must follow God. It must not just be this head knowledge. It must be this life. I want to follow Jesus with everything I have. And the third thing is we must respect God. Man, do we respect God? Do we respect our Heavenly Father? Do we show Him honor? Do we respect our Heavenly Father? You know, we must train them to honor their parents. We must train our kids to honor their parents. How do we do that? Well, a big way is to lead by example. How are we honoring our parents? And then how are we honoring our Heavenly Father? How are we doing it? Some of you are sitting here and you're past that stage. Kids are no longer in your home, but you have grandchildren. You have grandchildren. I mean, they're so much fun because they can come over and have a blast, and then you can send them home, right? Yeah. So cool. You don't have to deal with as much drama. Yeah. Teach our grandchildren how to honor their parents as we honor our Heavenly Father. And let me tell you something, moms and dads, especially moms and dads with the ones that are still at home and they're still under your watch and care, whether they're in high school or whether they're not even in preschool yet. Here is the best advice I can give you. This is one thing that I really want you to take away as we're training our kids to honor, is that we must be present. Not just present, but we must be present when we are home. We live in a society today where there is way too many distractions. Right? Yeah. Man, I love my smartphone, but man, it hinders my walk, not only with Jesus sometimes, but man, it hinders my walk with my girls. It's distracting. So there needs to be a time when I'm home, I'm going to make sure I'm present. I've got this little window from the time they get home from school until it's time to go to bed. And man, I just want to make the best of that time. Or Saturday. Man, Saturday is a day where, man, it's just our family's at home. There's not a birthday parties and 100 other things to go to. Man, we're going to be present. And I'm going to engage my kids. I'm going to play tea party, even though I don't look like the best princess. Let me tell you. We're going to do tea party. We're going to do the things they like. We're going to go get in the swimming pool. We're going to run around in the backyard. And we're going to do all these things. Luckily, my girls kind of like Legos, and I can kind of really get into that. We're going to build Legos. I'm going to be present because we have so many things that distract us. So when you are at home, you must be involved. You must be involved. So as we close this morning, as you close, we've pointed to this all through this message. You know, if you can't honor your father and mother, you will have a hard time honoring your Heavenly Father. And you learn how to honor and respect and obey God. You are learning this. You are learning how to honor, respect, and obey God. One of the awesome opportunities that we get as a church, a few weeks ago, the week after Easter, we were able to dedicate a little one to the Lord. Mom and dad wanted to dedicate their child to the Lord and make a commitment to raise their son up in church. And today we get opportunity to see a family dedicate four of their five kids to the Lord because they've already dedicated the one, the oldest. And we're going to do that here in just a moment. But here's what I want to do. I want to pray. I want to close our service in prayer. But before I do that, man, this is a significant thing in the life of a church. Does it mean anything for this child? No. But it is a commitment that a mama and a daddy are making as their parents to raise their children up to know and to love Jesus. It's a commitment. And the awesome thing is they're making it to their church family. And their church family comes around beside them and encourages them and helps them and gives instruction and guidance and help when needed. Awesome thing. The thing that I like to liken it to as we raise our kids is it's found in Psalms 127 where it talks about how the children of our youth are like arrows in a quiver. I've got three arrows that hang in my wall in my home, and it reminds me of two things. It reminds me of each one of my kids, but it also reminds me as a parent, as I lead my kids, that with an arrow, we have to shape arrows, we have to sharpen arrows, and then to use an arrow appropriately, we have to send them. We have to send them. They have to be shaped, they have to be sharpened, and they have to be sent. And, you know, I don't look forward to the day where I send my little one out and she becomes a young lady. But I know that it will happen. And I've got to be ready to send her out, and she needs to be shaped and sharpened in a world that is inherently evil and where there will be a lot of things that she will come and face. But one day I want to do my best as her daddy to make sure that she is shaped and sharpened when she's ready to be sent out. I think it's a beautiful picture of what we've got to do as mamas and daddies.